Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our program, Clear for Takeoff, with your host, Joe Montone. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Let's get right into it right now, my friends. Number one, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have time for God? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. Are you distraction-free? Check. Then, my friends, you and I are clear for takeoff to enter into the Word of God, which is so important. And as we prepare this weekend for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to be focusing heavily on traditional marriage and family life. And so we're going to get into it right now. Our first reading for the weekend is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. And here it is. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals. But none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our reading today, my friends, which is focused clearly on traditional marriage and family life between one man and one woman, we see that the Lord is opening up that opportunity for us, where he calls a man to leave his mother and father and to join his wife, and for the two of them to become one flesh, to build something new, to build a family, to build a life together, to work hard, to share in the beauty of life as a loving couple. And marriage takes work. It takes great work. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of generosity and compassion and understanding. And we really have to want to take on another person and to make their life easier, to have children, to understand, you know, God's calling for us as a man and a woman to be one flesh, but not two entities throughout life where we go in opposite directions. But God calls us to be like-minded and to keep him, you know, at the forefront of our relationship. And That is why a man clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. I want to share with you some statistics, my friends, on marriage and divorce rates in the last 12 years, and actually between 2009 and 2019. Okay, there were 16.3 newer marriages for every 1,000 women ages 15 and over in the United States. And that was down from 17.6 in 2009. And so marriage is something, you know, we need to strive for without question. We need to advocate for versus living together and just kind of feeling things out. God calls us to wait, you know, and he says, you know, be still and know that I am God. And today and for decades, you know, we want to acknowledge the fact that marriage is important. It should be something that we have on our goal sheet, not just goals in careers and education and financial stability, but goals for family life, including marriage and a successful marriage, which takes work. And this is important. This is something I think that we all have to learn, as there's tremendous evidence of divorce and marriages that don't work out. And we all make mistakes, my friends, but God calls us to try to do our very best in the area of marriage. With regard to divorce rates, U.S. divorce rates fell from 9.7% from new divorces per 1,000 women age 15 and over in 2009, it was 7.6, and so in 2019. But I just tell you that, you know, divorce is a very, very tough thing to go through, and it requires tremendous mental, you know, strategy to endure in the challenges that, you know, people have in divorce, the legal, the moral challenges, and also, you know, the challenges in rebuilding a life after divorce. And it is possible. And God calls us to truly to do our very best once again in the area of marriage. And so one of the good friends of mine I met over the weekend at a wedding mentioned that her mom gave her a talk about, you know, life and about marriage and about sex. And she said to her when she was a young girl, and she said to her, you know, sex produces babies. So my talk for you is this: don't have sex. And so we want to, you know, look at the blessing of two people coming together in an intimate relationship as something that is God-given. And it's part of the guidance and direction that God calls us to have children, to move forward, but within the context of a marriage. And this requires a lot of discipline, self-discipline, and patience, and truly a strategy for success within marriage itself. Because we see a lot of children today hooking up and getting involved in sexual encounters. We see it in high schools and middle schools. You know, young people getting involved with the wrong people time and time again. And God calls us once again to be still and know that he is God. He has a plan for each and every one of us. But we need to wait. We need to acknowledge that, you know, we can't just move forward and engage with young men and young women every day and every chance that we get. We've got to, you know, kind of get to know people and to see whether or not they're right for us and we're right for them. And we really need to pray for God to bring us the right person. And you could go into a bar or, some other event in the community and meet the wrong person every day of the week in terms of a person that you want to spend your life with. So God calls us to put marriage up on a pedestal, on a plateau, and try to prepare for that, and to not come up short, but to prepare well for this event, and then to to build that marriage up, and by having children and grandchildren, and to continue to work at it over the years. And today, once again, many people are living together, but there are many people also striving to get married. And we want to acknowledge that as a beautiful thing, a great blessing. But there are challenges because of the society we live in. We see a lot of sex and drugs and alcohol and things going on. And young people are fighting for their independence to do what they want to do. And, our job, my friends, is to try to look at marriage and family life as one of the great goals for all of us. It's not just building a career, but it's family life that's important as well. And this is something we want to strive for. We also want to mention that there's a lot of sexually transmitted diseases out there that people are, in a position with today because of a loose kind of environment. And, years ago, the big thing was AIDS and people coming down with AIDS through sexual encounters, heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual activity. And, it's one of those things we want to guard against. And because of that loose encounter, thousands of people come in contact with STDs each and every day. So it's an important message that we want to come across, that God says, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. He will cling to his wife and the two become one flesh. We don't want to just cling to anyone that we meet and get involved intimately and make a mistake. Now, I'll tell you, in doing our prison work, we have seen people with 10 children, with 8 different women. We have seen men with 27 children who have never been there to help raise them. And what happens is when sex is being, engaged in, and there is no love or marriage, what happens is, we can have children out of wedlock, and we can have children, each and every day that are being set up for failure, set up for difficulty in situations where, there's no father there, and possibly even, no parents or grandparents, and children are at a deficit for years to come. And so our job, my friends, is to follow God's lead and to move forward one day at a time, but to follow his lead and to listen to the word of God when it comes to family life and marriage. I want to go to our second reading from the book of Hebrews now, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader of their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading, my friends, from Hebrews, we want to acknowledge the word of God, which talks about the fact that Jesus who was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And Jesus did it for all of us, my friends, so we can have an opportunity for eternal life, for eternity with our Father in heaven. He did it to save us from our own sins. Imagine that, saving us from our own sins. And this is why it's so important that we build up a strong personal relationship with Jesus, because who else is going to do something of that great nature for you and for me? Who else has done something like that? No one. And in the history of mankind, my friends, we see that God provides, you know, the Lord for us as a vehicle by which we can get to heaven, get to be with our Lord and our Father for all eternity. But do we truly understand what the Lord did for us? Remember, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most powerful event that ever took place in the history of the world. And in this moment, we want to acknowledge that world time is based on that resurrection of Christ, as no one else has ever rose from the dead. It's a powerful thing to acknowledge, and it's in the Word of God. And the Word talks about the fact that Jesus was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Yes, lower than the angels, because he had to go through a tremendous passion, death, and then resurrection. But he was beaten to a pulp. He was, you know, truly beaten beyond understanding. We can't even comprehend what happened to our Lord, because we were not there. We didn't see it, but we know that his beating was just terrible. The scourging at the pillar, the agony in the garden, the mental torture that the Lord had as he prayed to his Father to take this cup from me. But in the garden, he says, you know, Father, not my will be done, but your will. And this is powerful. And so as we acknowledge that the Lord was in a position where he agreed to do the will of the Father, to please the Father because of the love for the Father and for his plan for salvation to come about, to succeed, the Lord gave his all. And in the agony of the garden, the Lord could see up ahead the torture that he will endure. So he had to go through that for us. And then, of course, the scourging at the pillar and the crowning of thorns and the carrying of his cross up Calvary Hill. And then the crucifixion. The Lord endured tremendous pain and suffering for us. It's not to be taken lightly. This is something we need to understand and acknowledge, that the cross that the Lord carried, that he was nailed to that cross. He was up on the cross for hours until his death came. But he did it all for us. And at the top of the cross, he gives us a great message of forgiveness when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Looking down on the people who actually tortured him, beat him, crucified him, he had the humility, my friends, the humility to forgive the people who offended him, who hurt him, who tortured him, crucified him. And God gave him that great gift of humility. His Father gave it to him to show us that we too need to forgive with great humility, authentically. Authentic Christianity must include humility, because that is part of the Lord's, you know, attributes. It's part of who he was, who he is. And he gives us that opportunity every day to be humble. And he shows us this when he was again made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So we just acknowledge that because for many years, I myself didn't understand this completely growing up in school, even Catholic school, didn't understand it completely until you really, you know, spend time in prayer and in education to understand the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who he was, what he did, why he did it, and then to try to change our ways and spend more quality time with God, developing a personal relationship with God. And we've said it before, we don't want God to be an obligation, given him 1 hour a week. We want him to be a high priority, first on the list, because he gives us everything, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the homes we live in. He gives us everything, and God calls us. God the Father calls us. He draws us closer. And then we become one with Christ. No one comes to the Lord unless the Father has drawn him closer. And this is said in the Word of God. And it's powerful. So we want to acknowledge this because it's important that we understand it. It's important that we make changes and we develop that personal relationship with Christ. And when we do that, we have a great opportunity to move forward in not only our careers and family life, but in community service to give back. And God calls us to be, once again, one with him. But he did it all for us, my friends, to give us a chance at eternity with him. Okay, I'd like to move to our gospel reading right now, which is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. And here it is. A reading from the Gospel of Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And the people were bringing children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, we see a confirmation of what we read in Genesis today about traditional marriage and family life, and the fact that a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And it's powerful. And the Lord says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And this is how God designed it, okay, for the male and female to come together, to produce children, to build up God's kingdom here on earth, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and it's powerful. And God calls us to this, as that's the second greatest commandment, to love one another. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world was a lack of love. And today, my friends, we see people redesigning things as they would like to have it, with this entire philosophy that children can pick their own genders. They can change things. And that's not the way God designed it. He designed it from the beginning of creation. God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great message for us all, and we've got to get this message down to our children and reinforce it over and over and over again. Because there's opposition to God's word and to his message of family life, his message of the traditional marriage and family life, his message of male and female, as people want to redesign things. A few weeks ago, we talked about the American Medical Association trying to redesign the birth certificate to extract the sex of a child. So a child can be born with a name, but no sex on the birth certificate. Imagine. And one of the things that the people are advocating for in the public school system, the elementary school children will be able to pick their own genders. Okay, now this is horrific. And this is important for us, my friends, because the first schoolhouse is in your own home, at your own kitchen table, in educating and motivating our children to live a good life through the eyes of God. Not through my eyes or your eyes, but through the eyes of God. How will our children go? And in the Word of God, it talks about letting the children come to me. And he says, "Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter the kingdom of God." It's powerful. And the Lord says, you know, do not prevent the children from coming, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And there is a lot of evidence today, my friends, of people in authoritative positions, in schools especially, misleading the children, preventing the children from going forward in the right direction. And as parents, we have to make sure that we are getting our children prepared for life through many things, including going to church on Sundays, because God says, keep holy the Sabbath day. And in the church, we have opportunity to listen to the Word of God, to get our children educated and prepare well for family life and for life itself, to get their priorities straight, where God is first. He's not an obligation, but he's first and foremost. And we listen to the Word of God, and we receive the love of God through powerful speakers who are prepared by the Lord himself to deliver the message of the gospel each and every week. And the Lord says, do not prevent the children from coming. So if you're a parent out there who is sleeping late on Sundays, who has no agenda to go to church, I want you to give that some thought, because God calls us to take our children to the church. Not 35 minutes late, walking in after the word has been delivered, but to come in early and to get our minds right, to sit down, to kneel down, to pray to our Father in heaven, to our Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and to give him the best that we can of our attention. So let us together, my friends, go forward this week and prepare our children well for not only school and careers, but for family life and traditional marriage as God sees it. This is important. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you. I want to thank you for tuning in here at Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.